Let me just say a word about He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. It's connected with what just happened with the blessing of our children. I've shared in Sunday school class that word for blessing, it would mean honor, glorify, worship, kneel before. But it has another meaning. And that second meaning is to find the right path among many wrong paths. Are there lots of wrong paths out here in life? What a blessing when God leads us, when our shepherd leads us on that right path. Hey, let me just say a word, because we do have a search committee looking for our next co-pastor and then pastor, we hope. You know, he or she is liable to do things differently. Like maybe wear a coat and tie at the first service rather than a robe and stole. You know, some of these young pastors, you know, there's two types of young pastors. Did you know that? One type has their shirt tail out. The other has their shirt tail in. Okay? The first type, they wear long sleeve shirts and then roll them up past the elbow. You've noticed that, right? And others might wear a coat and a tie or whatever. Two different types of new pastors, younger pastors. And of course, we're looking for younger pastors. Some might want to preach them up here, and then I don't know, you may even get one that want. What was that thing that? What'd we call that thing, Gordon? That was over top the pastor. Okay, whatever, you know. So, don't. You know, we've got to be ready for some change, okay? The new one, he might walk up and down, and because, Fran, it is so far back there, okay? This is a long sanctuary, and when you're preaching here from way up on high, there's that distance, and if you're like me, distance vision is a problem, and who is that back there? And I like to know, and that pastor probably going to want to make sure that he or she knows who is here. Okay. Forty is a special number. It's a special number in the Hebrew mindset, as well as the Christian mindset, in the Old Testament as well as New. When 40 represents a period of time, it can be a period of trial and testing, probation, reflection, even chastisement, as it happens to be today in our scripture lesson. For this 40 days that we call Lent, as Christ journeys to the cross and we're to journey with him, Keith has chosen a theme, and he started it out actually on Ash Wednesday and then last Sunday on questions that Jesus asks, questions of reflection, evaluation, even challenge. And our scripture lesson today in the 21st chapter of Matthew involves a question that Jesus asked on the day after Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, Monday, after he has ridden seemingly victoriously into Jerusalem. And the palm branches and the shouting of hosannas. But the religious leaders, the unbelieving Jewish leaders asked Jesus a question, if you'll remember all of what was going on. They said, by what authority are you doing these things? And Jesus asked them a question that they don't know how to answer, so they don't. And then Jesus asked them this question in this parable that we're about to read. Lord, may we have ears to hear. May we have eyes to see. What was Jesus saying? What was he saying to those religious people, to those religious leaders? What did the disciples overhear? And Lord, what do you want us to see? What do you want us to hear? May this indeed be a living word for us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew 21, I'm going to look on with you. You can see that we're kind of one-sided today. So in Matthew 21, Jesus says, what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. That son answered, I will not. But later, he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the second and said the same thing. And that second son answered, I go, sir. I am right on it. But he didn't go. Then Jesus asked this question. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you, John the Baptist, came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. This is the word of the Lord. This is a parable about faith. The story offers us helps, hints, to understand our faith, our own faith, as well as those that we love. As Patience was praying this morning with our elders about someone important to her. So it's about faith, our own faith, as well as the faith of those that we care deeply about. And in faith, we find a mystery. How is it? Why is it that one person believes and one doesn't? How is it, why is it that one person embraces Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, another doesn't? How is it that one person goes to church, but another person just can't get it, appreciate it, benefit from it, it seems? Now, there is an exceedingly important hint in this section of Scripture that tells us this is about faith. And I've got to acknowledge a mentor whom I've never met, who's never met me, whose name is Earl Palmer, who Nancy Corman loves and I love. I think he's one of the greatest. He's fairly recently retired Presbyterian pastor out in California, because I listened to his sermon on this passage and I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to preach that one day. And today's the day. All right, take a look at this story, this parable. There's three characters, isn't it? There's the father. Who do you think Jesus is referring to with the Father? That's God. And this father, I think, probably is a pretty well-to-do dad because he owns a vineyard. And the vineyard would represent what? The kingdom of God. Israel. The family of God. Now, there's two other characters. And those two characters are his two sons. Who are they? It's us. Those two boys represent us. So how do you know the parable is about faith? Well, take a look. If we can put up verse 32 to remind us. Do we have that on slide? There we go. You know, a huge hint as to the emphasis, the focus of Scripture, if there are words that are repeated. And there is a particular word here that is repeated three times. It's a verb here, but it's the word for faith, which is a verbal noun. You can see it three times in this passage. That's how we know that this is about faith, about the mystery of faith. So here is the powerful punchline in the parable that Jesus tells. And I'm going to focus on three points in the parable, in the story. First, there's a question. Here's the question. Which one is the good boy in the sermon, in the parable, in the illustration? Tell you what, neither one. They both got their problems, don't they? They both have their issues. Look at the first boy. The father says, "Hey, I want you to work in the vineyard today." And this boy says, "I will not. Who do you think you are? I can do whatever it is that I want to do, and I've got places to go and things to do and people to see." Have you got a boy at home, or did you have a boy, a son or a grandson like that? I mean, we don't have to have a show of hands, but wow, does this story ring pretty true? Impudent, rebellious, about as far away from "not my will be done, but thy will be done." How far away from that can you get with this first boy? Now the second son, by contrast, look how agreeable he is. "Son, I want you to go work in the vineyard today." "Oh my goodness, Dad, I was hoping you would ask me. I dreamed about it last night. I am honored. I am so privileged to be asked to go and work in this vineyard." But what happens? He says yes, but he never goes. Both boys, flawed, imperfect, like sinners who are saved by grace. Salvation comes by grace. It's not deserved. It's not earned. It's the free gift of God. Now, point two is about how the Holy Spirit works in the faith process, the mystery of faith. Maybe for us, this mystery of what happens in a probationary period, a testing period, maybe even a chastisement period, 40 days. This is interesting. The first boy struggles with the will of God. Anybody here struggle with the will of God? Anybody struggle with saying to the Lord, "Not my will, your will be done"? That's me. That's me. So let me tell you this story. This is a true story. It was the last school that I was principal of before entering the seminary. It was Westover Hills. And our cashier at Westover Hills Elementary School, she was rather aged. And she lived right across the street. I could look out the window. I could see her coming. And what would happen is her husband would escort her to school in the morning, and then when it was time to go home, he would walk her home. It was only 100 yards, for goodness sake. Well, it seems this man went to church in the neighborhood. And one day, I saw him coming up the sidewalk. He wasn't escorting her to school, escorting home school. And I saw him coming. I wondered what he wanted. Well, he wanted to see the principal. And he invited me to the Saturday morning men's breakfast at 7. It was either 7 or 7:30 on Saturday mornings. Now, you know, I worked hard. I got up early. I went to bed late. I got to school early and I left late. About the last thing that I wanted to do at 7 o'clock or 7:30 Saturday morning was what? Go to breakfast. So I told him I couldn't come. The next month, guess what? Here he comes up the sidewalk again. And I'm thinking, I wonder if he's going to come see me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he invites me to the Westover Hills United Methodist Church breakfast. I made up some excuse about why I couldn't go. Now, this went on month after month after month. And I made up excuse after excuse after excuse until, guess what? One day my conscience hurt. One day I realized, you know, those aren't just excuses you're telling Howard, Tommy. Those are outright lies. I didn't like myself. Now, Howard didn't lay any kind of guilt trip on me. He just invited. He smiled the whole time. He wasn't defensive. Whatever. One day, you know what I had to do, don't you? I said yes. And I went to that men's breakfast. And guess what? It was the best breakfast in town. I loved that breakfast. And there were great testimonies and great teachings. You know how much I like that breakfast? I invited Bill Walters to go to that breakfast. And I invited Larry Harrison to go to that breakfast. I even invited some other pastors I knew to go to that breakfast. And guess what? I don't know how many excuses I got, but they went. They went. And then, after I resigned from being principal to enter seminary as a candidate from St. John's Presbyterian Church to go to a Presbyterian seminary, you know what they did? They made me president of Westover Hills United Methodist Men's Breakfast. As a Presbyterian, and I never missed until I finished seminary and was ordained to go to Mount Olive, North Carolina. Now that is a true story. And it's kind of like this story that I think Jesus is telling. And point number two says, never, ever give up on the gospel. Never, ever give up on inviting people, extending invitations. Whether it's to second half ministry or to a life group that meets during Lent or some other time. Because the gospel takes time. Faith takes time. It's a process. And the challenge is, are you going to be a person like Howard? Who kept inviting, inviting. Howard didn't put a guilt trip on me. He let the Holy Spirit do it. What about us? What about us? Point number three, and I think this is the most important point, and I really think it's what Jesus is trying to get over. The second boy, the yes son, the one who says yes to the Father, yes to God, yes to the gospel, yes to church, yes to faith. But when the Father says to that son, I want you to go and work in the vineyard, and he's only so happy to do it, but he never does. He never does. And I think that's the big challenge for the church, St. Giles Church among all the other churches. We're the people who said yes. We said yes to God. We said yes to Jesus. We said yes to the gospel. We said yes to the church. But just like that other boy, we struggle with the will of God too, don't we? I knew I'd get an amen from Bill. I got a feeling there's some silent amens in some Presbyterian hearts here too. Now, let me ask you this. Does Jesus criticize either boy? No. Not the first word of criticism does he make. Does he tell us why one boy did and one boy didn't? No. He doesn't there. The Father loves both sons, doesn't he? Just like our Father loves us. Just as the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish. But he's not going to thrust or force his will upon any one of us, does it? Wonder what happened to that yes boy. Did he not have time? Were there extenuating circumstances? Or did he have life weed problems? You know the life weed problems, right? Remember Jesus' parable about the weeds? Yes! But then the weeds seem to choke out faith, don't they? Other things maybe more important than the gospel, more important than church, more important than faith expression. You wonder, did the Father come back and say, now son, you said yes, but you haven't gone? And did the boy say, look, I told you yes, I'm going, I just haven't been able to get to it yet. I'll get there, but how about Daddy-O, get off my, you know what, back. Leave me alone. I'll get to it. For one reason or another, he doesn't. He never gets to it. Mystery of faith. Mystery of faith connected to the mystery of God's love. Heavenly Father, this is us. We're those boys. And Lord, if we're the first son or the second son, if you'd be like an old hound dog chasing us, reminding us. Jesus is not on anybody's back. He's not trying to produce a guilt trip. Father, the Holy Spirit does that. You do that. Some of us are struggling with your call. We're in the vineyard. Oh, we like the vineyard so much. But Lord, we're having trouble getting to work in the vineyard. Oh, we used to work, but now we've done our turn. It's somebody else's turn now. Lord, some of us just aren't sure. Did we ever say yes? Did we say yes in our minds, but not with our actions or our lives? Lord, others of us, we said yes, and we did yes. But Lord, maybe we need to say yes again in this 40 days of Lent. Maybe without realizing that our lives have become no. But may our lives be a living yes to your call. And Lord, we know your vineyard needs people like my friend Howard Pugh, who invited. He was extending an invitation to something that was a blessing, something he was proud of, something that had made a difference in his life. Did he see something in my life that was needed? Or did he simply want me to be blessed and overjoyed with what others had experienced? Lord, may we be people who invite. Lord, may the weeds of life not prevent the gospel from living out its way in our lives. Father, may we hear your call. May we answer your call. Lord, may we put our priorities in the right place, whether it's for us or for a loved one, someone we care about greatly. Father, hear our prayers, for we make our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.